You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Masita, a.k.a. Spaghetti Curdy. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 332. On today's show, the final installment of the Peabody Award-winning series, Knicks and Morty. It's the fourth and final installment. We find out what Kevin Knox, Frank Ntilikina, and Kristaps Porzingis would do if basketball didn't exist. Whew, that'd be scary. Joining me to finish this series is, of course, Alex Wolf, who joined me on the first 3 points. Parts. I meant to say parts, but I screwed it up and said points. Before we get started, quick reminder, 929-377-5103, 929-377-5103, call that number to take part in one of our voicemail bag episodes. All right, Knicks and Morty, we're wrapping it up. It's a little bittersweet, I'm going to miss it, but I think you guys are ready for the thrilling conclusion, right? Right? All right, let's start it. Hit it, Marv!
Yes!
Let's talk about Kevin Knox.
Okay, you want me to lead on Kevin Knox?
Yeah, you go ahead.
You know, it's funny, this is going to almost seem like a mirror image of my last one, in a way, okay. But not quite the same. So we talked on here before about Knox and about how his dad was, like, kind of nuts as far as turning him into an athlete.
Joe Jackson.
Yeah, like, talked even from before Kevin Knox was born about, like, my wife looked like she was going to birth me an athlete, you know, and that's why I married her.
Yeah. He's like, so, I used to throw a football at my wife's stomach, and it didn't catch it, and then I would yell at it, and I'd be like, you got to put your hands around it.
So, I see Kevin Knox as a very tall NFL wide receiver.
Okay.
I just see there's no way his dad would have let him not be an athlete, and he clearly has that, like, innate athletic ability that even if he wasn't doing basketball, he could still be an athlete in something else, you would think.
For sure.
So apparently, as the story goes, presently with real life Kevin Knox, was that he was a quarterback and then at a certain point realized that he wasn't as good of a quarterback and then switched to basketball. But in this reality where there's no basketball, there's probably a precedent for more taller football players on the perimeter because they wouldn't be able to play basketball. So it's like, where do these like really tall athletes go?
Sure.
Probably football, maybe baseball, but that doesn't seem like as natural of a fit because then their strike zone would be huge and that just would not work well.
Maybe volleyball is more popular in this alternate reality, but...
Oh, that's true. Volleyball. Okay, well, maybe Kevin Knox could potentially be a volleyball player also. Mm-hmm. But what I see it as is that his dad was still a pro football player. So he had himself sold on Kevin Knox being a quarterback. But then Knox realizes at a certain point, just like in this reality, that he's not quite quarterback material. Mm-hmm. So then he does the thing that a lot of actual football players do and makes the transition from very athletic quarterback to extremely athletic wide receiver. And becomes like an all-pro wide receiver.
Yeah, like Randy Moss-esque talent.
Yeah, like taller.
Burris. But
yeah, maybe like Burris, but better. I guess Burris was pretty good at his peak.
Burris was great until he shot himself by putting his gun in a pair of sweatpants going to the club.
Yeah,
that was really.
Give me you know what? Give me Brandon Marshall at his peak.
Okay.
I think he's Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's like my favorite wide receiver ever. I think he was wasted for a long time on the Broncos. But so I think Kevin Knox is like Brandon Marshall as a wide receiver. Like he's going to like break a couple like single game records, you know, whatever. His career might be marred by injuries a little bit because it's tough to be a tall guy and be taking all those hits on your legs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'd make a couple Pro Bowls.
Running a bunch of fade routes into the end zone.
No doubt. I mean, he's like the corner fade champion.
Yep.
You know, he's the Hail Mary champion. He'd catch a couple of those.
Oh, for sure.
You know, one-handed grabs, you know, do like Odell Beckham.
Is he on the Patriots? God, I hope not.
Oh, God, I hope not. Yeah. Let's hope he's on the Jets. We'll make him a Jet.
That's disgusting, but I'll allow it because it's your
own. Are you a Giants? Are you a Giants guy?
Yeah, big time.
Oh, screw that. No, he's not. No. He's going on the Jets, man. We need this more than you do.
That's right. That's fair enough. I went in a slightly different direction. I went just based on picturing him wearing glasses. I can picture him wearing glasses, and in this reality, he's a 50s-era NASA scientist. He's just got, like, take his face, put big, thick, black-framed glasses on it. He's holding a clipboard in front of, like, some massive supercomputer. He's reading printouts from that supercomputer. Something might go wrong up in space. He doesn't panic. He looks for a solution. You know, he's there to make sure things go right. As part of that, he's not afraid to dole out some tough love. You know, everyone needs a kick in the trousers every once in a while, and I think he's just the guy to do it. You know, it is the 50s, so, you know, his wife still does most of the cooking, but he's also, like, kind of progressive for the 50s. You know, he holds his own when it comes to taking care of the kids. He changes diapers. He gets up in the middle of the night. He spends time with them on the weekends. He helps them do their homework when he gets home from NASA. I just think he's gone down a different path in this alternate reality, and it's mostly dictated by me picturing him wearing thick-rimmed glasses.
Well, you know, he does have a good, purely from an aesthetic standpoint, he has a good, like, face for having the big glasses, and then you could imagine, like, someone says something totally asinine that's, like, second nature to him, but, like, to them they think is, like, some big revelation, and he's sitting there and the glasses are kind of low on his nose and he's like looking down his nose a little bit at them.
Yes.
But like he's got that kind of protruding brow, you know, so you got like a little shadow over his eyes, and then he slowly like pushes the glasses up his nose and looks at the person right in the face.
Yeah.
You know, I can see it.
He like wrinkles his Klingon forehead just a little bit, you know, at you. He's got a touch of Neil deGrasse Tyson in this world.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
He's like, no, that's not at all how that works, my son. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
yeah. I can see it.
Yeah, not too much more. That's Kevin Knox. That's what I got. We're getting into the meat of things. We got really just Frank and KP to go. Do we want to do lightning round?
Yeah, let's do lightning round real quick.
Why don't you explain to the people what lightning round is?
So lightning round, we're just going to say, so because there's technically speaking four other people under contract by the Knicks right now that aren't on the... you don't figure that they're the most likely to be on the main roster. Two of them are on two-way contracts. That's Isaiah Hicks and Alonzo Trier.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of them are signed to non-guaranteed deals and might not make it through training camp. And that's Noah Vonleh and Kadeem Allen. So it should be noted that we did like zero prep for this.
Yeah, this is no prep. This is off the dome.
Yeah, this is like totally – and we're going to make it pretty quick.
Yes, very quick.
So, all right. Ready?
Yep.
All right. So do you want to do each of us, just do it all four, and then like we'll read them off to each other, read off the names, you say what you think, and then I'll read you the next name, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you do the names because you got the list over there.
Okay. All right, you ready?
Yep.
So first off, Isaiah Hicks.
He is an ice cream truck driver.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just – I see him hanging out an ice cream truck window and handing a cone to someone. He's got like a reach for it. An amiable personality.
Friendly face.
He's grown out his hair a little bit in this situation. Not quite an afro, but like heading in that direction.
Okay.
Alonzo Trier. He's like... He is a... I was going to say a mechanic, but then I think maybe he works at a hookah bar. What is he? Or he's a belly dancer? He might be a belly dancer.
Those are three very drastically different things.
Alonzo Trier contains multitudes. I'm going with all three of those, depending on the season.
Okay. Noah Vonleh.
He is in a factory where they pour molten hot like metal into a mold. I'm not sure what they're making. Maybe engine parts?
He's like a foreman. Mm-hmm. He's a factory foreman where they pour molten hot metal into like molds to make engine parts. Yeah.
Okay. Kadeem Allen.
All right. So Kadeem Allen, he is the founder of, he's the guy who invented the paddles on the beach when you play paddle ball. Because those are called like Pro Kadima. And so I think in this reality, it's like, it's based off him. It's a family name, family business.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, Isaiah Hicks.
I think camp counselor. He's maybe a teacher most of the year, and then like the best camp counselor during the summer that everybody loves. And he's like big and friendly, kind of jolly, you know. And then as a teacher, he's like everybody's favorite teacher that they love taking his class. That's Isaiah Hicks.
Makes perfect sense. Alonzo Trier.
He is a... he works in an advertising agency where he's given the green light all the time because when his ideas aren't great, they're not that great. But when they hit, they really, really hit and they work really well. So they kind of just let him spin.
Oh, yeah. And they let him get high at work, too. They're like, it's part of his process.
Yeah, exactly. He works for an advertising firm, and they're very much just like, let him do what he does because the results are there. That's him.
Noah Vonleh.
Noah Vonleh is a contractor, but like that really, really buff contractor where you're like, dude, like you definitely were an athlete or a bodybuilder or something before this, but like, you know, you kind of found your niche now, but you still stay in shape.
He's the diet coke like, break guy, sort of, if you remember that commercial. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like really big and beefy, and he's a really good contractor too.
Mm.
He like apprenticed under someone who was really good before him.
Yeah,
you know,
he knows like where to pick out the best materials. He goes to the best lumber yards. He gets reclaimed church wood from upstate New York. Yep. All this kind of shit, right?
And he doesn't bullshit you. He gives you a fair price, and he lets his work speak for itself. That's Nova.
You'll pay a lot, but you'll never be dissatisfied with the final product. Never.
Yep.
You think it's worth it? All right, Kadeem Allen.
All right, Kadeem Allen, because I know literally nothing about him, he's a spy. He works for MI6, and he's a spy. He can put on any different accent. And
you don't know till the end of the movie whether or not he's on your side or not. Like, Cruz isn't sure. He's like, I don't know about this guy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I got. Just because literally I know nothing about him, so when I think of mystery, I think International Man of Mystery.
Perfect.
I
love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's talk about Frank, baby. Let's talk about you and me. I'm going to start. Whoa, wait. In just one moment, we will talk about what Frank Ntilikina would do in this horrifying alternate reality where basketball doesn't exist. But before we do that, just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Because you just kind of stole the wind out of my sails on this one, so I want to get it over with. Frank, to me, is the summer counselor, camp counselor. And I'll tell you why. First of all, it's in upstate New York. This is non-negotiable. The Catskills. Frank is a huge proponent of sharing and teamwork, which is a crucial lesson for children to learn. He's full of love and patience. He's still young enough that he can really relate to the struggles of the children. I feel like he would look great in tie-dye. I feel like he would be great at archery. I can see him in a canoe and reminding everyone to wear their life vest because safety comes first. I can see him telling ghost stories, and he'd be scary. He'd get into it, but not too scary because it's Frank. You know what I mean? I can also see him making like 200 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day for the campers. And more importantly, or not more importantly, but just a part of this whole thing, I think at summer camp, Frank would be the classic, you know, he'd have some time to discover himself a little bit. Maybe he'd try his first beer. Maybe he'd make out with a couple girls. He spends a little bit of time away from his parents and just gets to know Frank. He never is, you know, delinquent in his duties to make sure the campers are having a great time, that they're safe. But he's also got like a little bit of a mischievous streak. And that is my vision of Frank, the camp counselor. I've got a secondary one as well, which I could
share. Well, I'm not going to let you say the secondary one until I say my first one in case it is my first one.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a very obvious one for Frank.
Okay.
That at least it's obvious to me. Frank is an Urban Outfitters model in this other reality.
Oh! Yo, I have high fashion model. But
yep. Yeah. I've got Urban Outfitters. Based off how he dresses, mm-hmm. you know, I think he'd be an urban model. He's very trendy. Yeah. He's also very handsome. He's got that kind of model figure, you know. He's lithe, but also kind of muscly, but not too muscly because you can't be too muscly to be a model in most cases.
He'll fill all the way out like he's going to in his basketball career, but like he'll be strong.
He'll stay like literally where he's at right now, where he's like kind of muscly, but kind of not. So he's not intimidating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you look at him and you're just like, oh, this dude just kind of exudes it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it would definitely be for Urban Outfitters because I could definitely see him wearing like all the oversized like t-shirts and stuff. Basically what he wears now. I mean, he also kind of rocked like earlier this summer. He had like that kind of like neo hippie kind of look about him where he had like the John Lennon like round sunglasses.
Yeah,
and
he had
the headband and the like flannel shirt or whatever and the Vans and the ripped jeans and stuff. But that's a very Urban Outfitters look too.
It really is.
Like, That's totally where he's doing his modeling. That's where he's making his bucks, and he would be like their most popular model by far.
He's got like that Firefly Festival, like fake hippie look kind of thing going on. Yeah, I see it. I see it. And the only thing that I saw in this that you haven't mentioned is I feel like there's something about, I said high fashion because I feel like there's something about like the catwalk that unlocks something in him that he doesn't otherwise show. Like, he's a little bit maybe bashful in real life, but he gets on that catwalk and he just struts down it. Like, no one needs to tell him how to walk down that thing. He's got a sassy little turnaround. But once he's on that catwalk, he might be shy off it, but on it, it's just like where he feels at home. Nothing can touch him. And he's free to be Frank. And I think in this world, he's a one-word model named Frank. And everyone's like, oh, Frank, of course.
See, I would say that's what he does in his urban stuff too, but it's like a good photographer gets that out of him because like he wouldn't normally, he's kind of stoic, you know, he's not like a super talkative dude or whatever, but he shows it through his face, you know, and his actions when he's getting photographed.
Yes.
I think that's how he does it in my reality if we're doing two separate ones here.
For sure. Yeah, they're very closely related. They're on like a similar frequency vibration, but
yeah, they're definitely like world, like, you know, I-283 and like I-285, something like that. They're close. They're close on the frequency.
Absolutely. All right. I feel good about our jobs for Frank. Let's move on to the final Nick. It's part of this epic project that we've undertaken. Kristaps Porzingis, the franchise. I have two possible ones for Crispy. Do you want to start or should I have this one?
You know, I'll lead, and then I'll let you finish with your two ideas.
Okay.
Just on the off chance that you thought of the same thing for one of your ideas as I have for my one. So my idea for Kristaps is that he would be a businessman, a young hotshot, and he would be in charge of foreign affairs because Kristaps right now is very smart. He's multilingual. Like, I think he speaks like four different languages presently, maybe five.
Yeah,
at least parts of four different languages, because I know he for sure has Latvian, Spanish, English, and I think he said he speaks a little French as well.
Okay.
But so he would be like the hot shot like international business guy. He's very personable. He seems very aware of what it is to have and maintain a brand, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he'd be stepping at the forefront of new social media strategies, stuff like that. He'd really be leading his company into the future. Mm-hmm. At some point, someday, he would wind up becoming the CEO, possibly the youngest CEO in his company's history.
Oh,
I don't know for sure. Whatever company it was would be doing something very, very progressive and exciting, and maybe at a certain point he would even leave a senior executive position at one place to go to another where he's starting it from the ground up because he feels that they weren't achieving enough in the innovation part of the business. Uh-huh. And he would move on to try to start something new on his own and be also incredibly successful at that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to just do the same old thing. He wants to blaze his own trail. He wants to be unique. I see him being an excellent traveler in this scenario, too. Like, he's got TSA pre-check. He's got, like, the most cutting-edge luggage that has, like, built-in Wi-Fi or whatever the fuck. And,
despite being 7'3", he can blend into a crowd pretty easily. You know,
he packs all his clothes in like vacuum sealed bags and just can like fit. He can go. He can travel around the world for like 6 months at a time in one piece of carry on luggage. He's almost like an assassin, but a business person.
Business assassin.
Yeah. I think I'm writing more of like a brand. It's definitely, there's branding going on with mine. And for my first alternate timeline, Kristaps job, he's kind of a professional hype beast. He's a social media influencer who is basically monetizing like his Instagram. He's got a big following. He's always attending launch events for new sneaker collaborations. He's going to Kith and flight school in New York City a lot, you know, and like he's there at all the openings. He's like sneering at people online. He just walks right through, you know, and he gets paid to promote these events on his Instagram. He gets to keep hitting on Instagram models, which we know he loves. Basically someone whose only interest is monetizing their narcissism. So this isn't the most flattering alternate reality for Kristaps. So I'll move on to one that's a little bit more flattering. And I could see him as the world's tallest skateboarder. Kind of like a Tony Hawk type. He would do the kind of the vert stuff. I think it's called vert. Like the ramps. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called vert. Yeah.
He would get the big air. I just have a really easy time picturing his body doing that kind of like skateboardery hunch that they sort of do when they grab the board. You know what
I mean? Doing like a 720 McTwist on the, you know, up in the air.
Jesus air. Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I feel like
is he strictly a skateboarder, or does he do the double duty like Shaun White, where he's also a snowboarder?
Oh, yeah, let's do that too. Because he's a unicorn in this world too. You know, he's someone with a unique skill set for someone of his size. I think he can't get away from that no matter what. He's doing things at 7'3" that people have never done at 7'3" before. I think that's the key here.
Does he like Trey Burke in his pizza shop, instinctively do a move with the skateboard where he passes it through his legs and he doesn't quite know why?
Yes. That's exactly right. Oh, my God. I wonder why he has me blocked on Twitter. You know what I mean? I can't figure it out.
I don't know. We should start a campaign to get you unblocked.
I've tried before. It doesn't really gain momentum. People don't seem to care. I'm really the only one who cares. Yeah. Sad.
Well, you know, you probably did something to deserve it.
Nah, I don't think so.
Does he have you blocked on Locked On Knicks or injury report?
On NBA injury report.
Oh, well, that's probably because you made fun of him.
Yeah, it might be. He might find the whole enterprise distasteful, which would be fair, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. Kristaps, just know that I love you. I know I called you someone whose only interest is monetizing their narcissism, but I got a job to do here. It's to entertain the people during the off season. I'm sure you're a great guy. You seem like a swell guy. Come on the show. I don't really want it to be that kind of show. You know what I mean? I want to live in my bubble where I make fun of these guys and don't feel like I've got to give them favorable coverage if they don't deserve it. Because we give you the real shit at Locked On Knicks.
Are you really telling me that you would like straight-faced say no thank you if Kristaps came up and was like, oh, I'd like to come on your show, man?
I gotta say, every day Enes Kanter emails me and he's like, James, can I please come on the show? And I say, Enes, no, it's not that kind of show.
I wouldn't be terribly surprised because he does seem like he's doing like a media tour right now, or he's just hitting up like every possible media thing at this moment.
Oh my God. Oh, this is, I mean, we're just recording this all in one shot because we're pros, but I think this is going to be a 900 part series.
Yeah, it's a very real possibility. Dear listener at the end, thank you for making it all the way through this Time Life documentary series chronicling what Knicks would be in alternate realities.
Knicks and Morty. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you online? If there's anything you want to plug, you can go ahead and do that right now.
So just check me out on at the Alex Wolf on Twitter. That's AlexWolfe. That's where I'm at on Twitter. You know, I'm trying to write some stuff on Posting and Toasting, even though we're in the slow season right now, slow part of the off season. But that's postingandtoasting.com, SB Nation's official Knicks blog. Right. So check me out there. Check out our other guys there too. Actually, Zach DeLizio, who has been on this show before, right?
He has been on here, right? Has indeed.
Not for a little while, I don't think, right?
It's
but he has been
for
on
too
here.
Long. He started feeling self-conscious because he sounds like a talking meatball, and I was like, Zach, don't worry about it. The people love your insight, yeah. So we're gonna get him back.
People love meatballs. Come on. Yeah, but he just wrote something really cool this week, so you should check that out. I think that made it to the big SB Nation page today. So good for him, man.
What you're saying right now is going to air 7 months from now, so people won't know what we're talking about, but that's okay.
No, it'll still be there. It'll be up on the top SB Nation forever.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, once we've reached the end of our 12-part documentary series on Knicks with other jobs.
Oh, it's the off-season. It is the off-season.
I just realized I should have done at least one or two of those with a British accent.
We screwed up, right?
Quick, let's go back. We'll scrub this out, and I'll re-record a couple. No big deal, right? Perfect.
We got it. Thank you, Alex.
Of course, James. Bye.
All right, that's it. Man, it was a journey, wasn't it? Don't you guys feel like you've been on a journey? I do. You know, a terrifying but rewarding journey. Exactly like Lord of the Rings, with no difference whatsoever. That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show. If you have not already, tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks, if you have not already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks for bonus takes and general camaraderie. Or at NBA Injury Report for jokes and jokes and jokes about basketball. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, it's mellow. If it's brown, flush it right down. Always salt the pasta water. Take that for data. Biggie's the best rapper of all time. It's easy. Just follow your heart. Don't be a jerk about it. You know what I'm saying? Peace!